Okay, it's very exciting. We are beginning our Limud, the new Zman Learning Hilchos Yom Tov. So what I wanted to share today is a brief survey, an overview of some of the major topics that we're going to cover, some of the major fundamental principles in Hilchos Yom Tov. I'm going to come back to each one of them over the course of time, both in this Siman and Tav Tzadi Hei and in later Simanim, but this will serve hopefully as the baseline for our limud, for our discussion. So I outlined for myself 8 topics, 8 little subsections that we're going to review today so that we can give ourselves a greater understanding of Hilchos Yom Tov and set the table for the limud that is before us. So we begin just with the overall principle regarding Hilchos Yom Tov, and that is that there is an Isur Malacha, as the Pasuk describes, on Yom Tov. The Aruch HaShulchan has a beautiful summary, as everything has beautiful, of course, but he has a beautiful summary of many of these Ha'aros and overall topics. So in the beginning, he just starts out in Tav Tzadi Hei, Sheish Yisrael B'Shana B'Golo Yud Beis Yom Him Yomim Tovim. There are 6 days during the year that are considered Yomim Tovim, and some I heard once in the name of the Gra that might be the explanation of the Pasuk in the beginning of the Parsha Samoatim in Emor, that it says Elam Oadeh, and then it says Sheshes Yomim Vashvi. So why are you introducing Shabbos? So some say, oh, it's referring to Shabbos. Shabbos, I think some say in Chazal that it's Mechal Moadim, it's like a Mechal Shabbos. I heard in the name of the Gra, it's 6 days you do work and the 7th day you don't do work. It means 6 days during the year you have an Isur Malacha, but the Heter of Ochel Nefesh, and on the 7th day, you have no Heter Malacha at all, and that is Yom Kippur. Interesting deal. So there are 6 days of Yom Tov, according to the Torah, and on these days, there is, the Gemara says, it's an Aseh and a Los Aseh, because you have a Shabbaton, a Pasuk of Shabbaton, and you also have Kol Malachas Avodah Los Aseh. So there is a restriction on doing Malacha on Yom Tov. So what Malacha is prohibited on Yom Tov? So the Pasuk says, Kol Malachas Avoda Lo Sasu. So what is Malachas Avoda? So the word Malacha, we already know what Malacha is from Shabbos, but we don't know exactly what is Malachas Avoda. So, yes? Not that I'm aware of. And the Ramban points out, which we'll get to in a second, just in general, that in the context where it does say Malacha in Yom Tov, it's modifying that which we said earlier, which was only Malachas Avoda. So, just the idea of Malacha and the Malachas Avoda, so we're going to carry it over from Shabbos. Well, to what extent do we carry over the Malachos of Yom Tov to Shabbos? So, many of us saw already the Menchas Chinuch, who raises as the discussion regarding the Isra of Mechamer, which is the distinct lav on Shabbos, the Isra of Shvisas Behema, the question of Tchumen. All of these are raised here in the Beis Yosef, in the beginning of Tav Tzadi Hei, but explained in greater length by the Menchas Chinuch, as to whether or not this question as to whether or not the Isurim of Shabbos, these 2 deos reflect this question, whether or not the whole entire enterprise of Shabbos is carried to Yom Tov, or no, only the Lamites Malachos, only the word Malacha, Kamalachos Avodah L'Sasu, only means the Malachos of Shabbos, and not the ancillary Isurim of Shabbos. That's one. Another issue that comes up, in terms of carrying over, is the Gemara Makas Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis that says that, yeah, you carry over Malachos, but not the din of Chiluk Malachos. Chiluk Malachos for Shabbos, and not Chiluk Malachos for Yom Tov. Chiluk Malachos on Shabbos, the Gemara says, in the Perek Klal Gadol, has 3 different possibilities to learn from what the makar is, either it's from lechalik yatzas or it's me'achas mehina, whatever it is. But those drashos, the Gemara says in Makos, are specific to Shabbos and are not carried over to Yom Tov. And then the 3rd question, another issue, it's an interesting question, is the issue of meleches machsheves. Specifically, for example, is the question of ein tzricha legufa. Do we carry over the din of ein tzricha legufa, which is more lenient on Shabbos? It's a special din of meleches machsheves that Rav Shimon says the Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is not a problem. Do we carry that over to Yom Tov or not? So I saw in the Sha'ar Mitzuyana B'Halacha, which is this fantastic sefer authored by Rabbi Brown, I think it's Schneer Zalman or Shlomo Zalman Brown, who's a Hungarian Rav who came to America, lived in Brooklyn. So he has a beautiful sefer on Halacha. It's actually according to the state of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So in the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov, he points out in one of his footnotes there, two deos, he quotes two deos in Achronim, as to whether or not the kula of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa applies to Yontif. Do you say, well, if it applies to Shabbos, it applies to Yontif? Or do you say, no, it's a local din of Melechus Machsheves on Shabbos, and it doesn't carry over to Yontif. So these three issues... He quotes two different Achronim. I don't remember exactly who he quotes.
That's
whether or not Yontif is more is just as Mekel or also more Machmer, or would be more Machmer.
It's the halach, it's not the one on the
Shas. No, it's on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So these three areas are the first question in terms of Malacha, learning it from Shabbos. What is Malacha Savoda? So the word Malacha means Malacha from Shabbos. So what the parameters are is an important question. And then the other side of the equation, which was the Avoda side, well, what is Malachas Avoda? So the Ramban in Vayikra and Chav Gimel in Pasuk Zion, this very, very fundamental Ramban, points out that the only Isra on Yontif is Malachas Avoda, not what he calls Malachas Hana'a. Someone told me recently that they have a friend who rented out a culinary school for a birthday party, and they had a master chef competition for their achveis. I think it was for their wife's birthday. What do you think about that, huh? Interesting. So why would anybody pay money to rent out a culinary school to cook? Who wants to do malacha for their birthday? The answer is, that's not malachas avoda, that's malachas hana'a. It's geshmak, it's fun. People like cooking. A lot of people like cooking. So the Ramban says, therefore, the words malachas avoda are what teach us, that word avoda, that is what teaches us that ochel nefesh is mutter. It's not a pshat that ochel nefesh is dechuy on Shabbos. It's not even a pshat that it's hutra on Shabbos. It's that it's lo nemra. There's no iser to do Malechas Ochel Nefesh on Yontif, because only Malechas Avoda is what is Asura, not Malechas Hana'a. So that's Aleph, the Iser Malacha, as it relates to Shabbos and is distinct from Shabbos. So now the question is, topic number three, right? The first topic was Malacha, the second topic is the Heter of Ochel Nefesh, the parameters of this Iser. Is now topic number three is, which Malachas of Ochel Nefesh are permitted? So the Yerushalmi in Beitza, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud, has this idea that only the malachos from Lisha and onward are permitted on Yom Tov. The previous malachos, the Yerushalmi is in Beitza Aleph Yud. The Yerushalmi says that only those malachos from Lisha and Aleph are permitted, the previous ones are not acceptable. So why not? Yishalmi gives you two answers based on Psukim, on the juxtaposition of Psukim. First he says, Acha sheyochel chol nefesh ulevado yosel lachem ad ushmartem es hamatzos. That's one. And then the second one is Tani Chizkia upliga ach hu levado hare elu miyutin shol yiktor v'lo yitchon v'lo yirakid b'yomtov. So that is the marker for the Yerushalmi, says Ein Borin, V'lo Tofin, V'lo Meraktin, etc. So even though there are other Melechas Ochel Nefesh, those Melechas Ochel Nefesh are not permitted on Yom Tov. And the question is, what is the nature of this limitation? Is it a Doraisa limitation? Or is it a Drabana limitation? So the Ran, in the beginning of the third parak of Beitza, quotes this Yerushalmi, and it says, it sounds like the Yerushalmi holds that this is a Din Doraisa. And the Ramban there in the Melchamos in Beitza seems to indicate, it's pretty clear, he says the phrase Lohitira Torah Malacha, the Torah didn't allow it. So it sounds like, according to the Ramban, these Malachos, which are earlier in the process before Elisha, they are Asur Midoraisa. So even though that's the Ran's understanding of the Yerushalmi, not the Ran's personal opinion, insight, but his understanding of the Yerushalmi, the fact that the Yerushalmi quoted these two Psukim, and that's the Ramban suggestion that the Torah didn't allow these malachos. So why didn't the Torah allow these malachos? So the Ramban explains, because these malachos are generally done liyamim harbe. They're done for long-term use. So for example, when a person goes to bake a cake, they don't think about going out to their field and collecting wheat. They don't do that. So Katsira is a long-term malacha. It's done way in advance, and therefore, by definition, the Torah said that's not included in the heter vochel nefesh. Even though we had a heter vochel nefesh minatorah, it's capped. It's exuded beginning at Lisha.
If it's minatorah, what do you
What's that? So, presumably, that would be under the category of malachas avoda. That avoda is something which is done for a long-term basis. It's not when you go to the kitchen to prepare for yontif and enjoy your cooking. You don't think that it's really fun to have to start going out to the field and start harvesting. It's exhausting. It's hot. It's whatever. So that's one option. That's the Ron's understanding of the Yerushalmi, well, the Ramban's explanation, and the Ron saying that the Yerushalmi probably thinks that it's Minat Torah. But there is another approach, and that is the Rambam and many others who think that this distinction, the Ron himself, think that this distinction is only Midrabanan. So why is this prohibited Midrabanan? Minat Torah Olochol Nefesh Mutar. So the Rambam says that since you could have done it from yesterday, and it wouldn't have had any impact on you, you should have done it yesterday. We don't want you to leave it until Yom Tov. This is the Rambam Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Aleph, Halacha Hey, where the Rambam says, "Kol Malacha she'efshal lo liyasas me'erev Yom Tov v'lo yeh b'hefse v'lo chesron v'nasis me'be'erev asur chachamim lasas osa." And therefore, they assered a bunch of things. And then Zion, Kate side, and Kotzim, Vlodash, Vlozon, Vlobom, Vlotokin, and Sachid, Vlomrak, and Yomtosh, call Elu Chayotzim, Efshalasos, Me'er, Yomtov, the Imbekach, Hefz of Lochem. That's in Halacha Zion. So the Rambam pins the reason why they assert these earlier stage malachos is because you could have done them from yesterday and they would have been just as good. So we're going to come back to that principle of Efshar Mibod Yom in a little bit, but that's what the Rambam says to distinguish categorically between the earlier stages of malachos and the later stages of malachos. The problem is, the Ravid says, that doesn't make sense. I don't agree with that. Because he writes, so first of all, he says, "Ein l'zeh tam elo b'pnei shuv mechavei malachta b'yom tov." That's number one. And number two, the Ravid later asks a little bit of a different question, but it's applicable here in this context, not the context the Ravid mentions it. B'chol eila ein tam loma ein tolshin yerek ve'ein malachtin peiros. This is later in Halacha Ches. Mina ilam b'yom tov shari b'nei yomon yafin yoser. So the Ravid says, look at the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says it has nothing to do with whether it could have been done yesterday. The fact is, fruit which is picked today is fresher and better than fruit which was picked yesterday. Therefore, if the whole distinction between kotzer and lush is that kotzer you could have done yesterday and lush you couldn't have done yesterday because the bread wouldn't be fresh, it's not true. Kotzer you couldn't have done yesterday either because the apple's not going to be as fresh. That's the Ravid's question on the Rambam. That the Rambam's rationale for distinguishing between these levels of malachos is not logically sound, because you can ask this kasha. Yes?
Didn't the Ram have an answer on that?
So we'll give an answer. So the Magen Mishnah answers this question, and there is a similar answer in the Ran. If I'm not mistaken, historically, I believe that the Magen Mishnah and the Ran were Chavrusas. They were the same generation in the same area in Spain. But we have to double check that. But they both, I think, make similar points, which is that the Ran says, no, that's not a problem. We follow Rov Hamalachos to be Koveya. That's the Magen Mishnah here. There's a long Magen Mishnah starting in Halacha Hey all the way through Halacha Ches. He quotes the Kasha of the Ravid. He says, I think that the Rambam is right. Shekol shebeikar malacha ein hefsed. Afagav shebechelik mimena yesh hefsed asur chachamim. The rabbis didn't distinguish. They said, generally speaking, is this a malacha that could have been done in advance and that it's usually, you know, no difference between whether you do it in advance and you do it fresh? Then that malacha is labeled as a malacha she'efshar mibod yom. Masherein kein, if the malacha, generally speaking, needs to be done b'shas ma'aser. So, either, be that as it may, the bottom line is that according to the Ran and the Rambam, this issue of Melisha Ve'elach is only to Rabbanon. Masherein kein, if you look in the Yerushalmi and the Ramban, this issue is an issue d'oraisa. Okay, that's issue number three. But issue number four, a separate topic, but it's going to be, as you can see, is going to be related to this, is the question of, well, let's say you're talking about one of the immediate malachos, the malachos hana, the malachos that you want to do today, and that you are mutter to do today, like Lisha. Well, is it always mutter to do today? What if you could have done it yesterday? So, what's that? Let's say you could have done Lisha yesterday. Ofe, you could have done Ofe yesterday. Is that permitted to do it today? So, what we saw a minute ago was that the Rambam mixed two issues. He took the issue of Melisha Ve'elach, which is a categorical issue, and made it into an issue of Efshar Mibod Yom. Masherein kein, the Ramban doesn't say anything about Efshar Mibod Yom. So what would the Ramban say? What do we say about something that is Melisha Ve'elach, but it could have been done yesterday without impacting the food in any way? What would you say? Remember, if we forget the Rambam, just learn the Gemara.
Another friend of yours right now.
What's that?
If it wouldn't have any, it would be another friend.
Yes.
Yesterday or today, then maybe yeah, you should do it
before. So that's the question. Maybe yes, maybe no. Here's the issue. If we said before that Ochel Nefesh is not Dechuya, it's Lo Nemra, there's no prohibition, so is there any reason, is there any motivation to do it from yesterday? So the answer is yes. The Rishonim say there is a motivation to do it yesterday. But the question is, what's that motivation? So if we look at the Sefer HaChinuch, and this is the Ran's interpretation of Rash in the beginning of Ein Sadin, he thinks, the Sefer HaChinuch thinks, that this is a din d'oraisa. In Reish Tzadi Ches, or Reish Ches Tzadi. The Sefer HaChinuch thinks that this is a din d'oraisa. That even though Malechas Ochel Nefesh is Mutter, but that's only Malechas Ochel Nefesh, which was Efshar Mibod Yom. But Efshar Mibod Yom, that's not included. Now if you look in the Rashi, beginning of Ein Sadin, not so clear that Rashi thinks it's Doraisa, but that's what the Ran thinks that Rashi may mean, that it's Doraisa. But the Sefer HaChinuch for sure thinks that it's Doraisa. Whereas the Rambam that we just read thinks that it's only Drabbanan. What's the reason for the Rambam? The Rambam said, because you're going to end up whittling away your whole Yantif doing all of these activities that you should have done yesterday. You're just going to leave everything for that day. So this is going to be a major nafkamina, lemaisa. Question number one is, Melisha Ve'elach, is that a din d'oraisa? Or is that only drabbanan? And then question number two, even if it's after Lisha, if it could have been done before Yom Tov, we say, do it before Yom Tov. Well, how much motivation is there to do it before Yom Tov? So, that's a machlokas here. And the nafkamina from this might be your sensitivity. How significant is it that it could have been done yesterday? What does it mean, you can't do it yesterday? You could have done everything from yesterday. You could have made your cholent yesterday. You could have made everything yesterday. But, you know, we all know that cholent coming out of the refrigerator as leftovers, no? Mat Omer?
Makpia
feeling? No. You can't put it in the freezer, right? Imagine you're going to put it in the freezer. No, it's not shayach. So the Rambam says the lashon is hefsid or chesron tam. So we'll have to see in the Shulchan Aruch. But what's, I think, one of the things to consider is, well, how sensitive we are to this might be determined based on how chomer it is. If you think we're dealing with mamish and isa d'oraisa here, that it's efshar, you could have done it yesterday, so maybe there's more room to be machmer, to be very stringent on the definition of how big is the difference between make it yesterday or today, if the challah is baked yesterday versus today. Masrein kein, if it's a din d'rabbanan, so then maybe there's greater latitude to determine what is considered a hefsid for the time. But this is It's totally separate from the din of Lisha Veilach. It should be very clear. Even though the Rambam mixes the two issues, they are categorically different. The first issue was the question of the category of malachos that are pre-Lisha. The second issue is the Lisha Veilach, if they themselves, if all of these mutar malachos olchol nefesh, could have been done yesterday, and whether or not that's a limitation midaraisa midrabbanan. Issue number five. And that is the concept called... yes, hello. Correct. The Rambam is consistent because both of them are only Drabbanan.
You said they're separate, not the Rambam.
They are totally separate issues, and the Rambam connected them.
And said the reason for one is the other.
The Rambam said that the Hagdara, the reason why Milisha Ve'elach, is because the previous ones could have done in advance. Exactly. But they're really two different questions. One is the question of these categories of malachos. The second is whether or not they could have been done in advance without affecting the taste of the food. Okay. Issue number five, mitoch. So the Gemara here in Beitza, on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, has a discussion between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding carrying on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says that the machlokas is the conclusion that Amud is mitoch shuto tzol tzor chutzun amish lo tzorach pligi. There is a concept that Beis Shammai says you can't take out books or. They were talking about Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah, the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or the Lulav, or the Katan. The Beis Hillel says you can because Mitoch Shehutra L'Tzorach, Hutra Nami Shelo L'Tzorach. Since a malacha is permitted for the use of Ochel Nefesh, so you want to carry your food from one place to the other so you can eat it in that location. So that's Mitoch Shehutra L'Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, Hutra Nami Shelo L'Tzorach. So this is what the Gemara discusses. Machlok is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel is going to hold Mitoch. Beis Shammai is not going to hold Mitoch. Well, what exactly does it mean that we are expanding the definition? What does that mean? So the first question is, well, we say Mitoch Shehutra L'Tzorch Ochol Nefesh, Hutra Nami Shalom L'Tzorch Ochol Nefesh. Since you can do Hotzar for the purpose of food, you can do Hotzar for the purpose of non-food. Does that mean you could do the purpose of Hotza for non-food, meaning for no purpose at all? It's as if to say there is no malacha? Or no, mitoch just means for non-food purposes it's mutar, but it has to have some purpose. So this seems to be a machlokas between Rashi and Tos. This is the way that Tos understands Rashi here on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, that Rashi seems to say, and that's the Aruch HaShulchan's interpretation of the Rambam, that min haTorah for the Rambam, shelo l'tzorach klal is mutar. Essentially, Hotza'ah and Havar, which we'll get to in a second, are... They all hold Shalot Tzorach Klal is Mutter. As opposed to Tosfos, who says, no, Tosfos there says it's not that, it's for naught. You can't carry everything out for nothing. It has to be what he calls Tzorach Hayom Ksas. So this carries us to the next Machlokas, which... is likely to be related to this machlokas, which is which malachos are subject to the din of mitoch. So if you look in the Rambam only mentions hotzah and havara. So if you look there, the Magid Mishnah and the Lechem Mishnah have a whole discussion about whether or not the Rambam really only means in the concept of hotzah and havara. Maybe it's more than just mitoch that the Rambam thinks that these malachos are mufka from yontef, has to do with ner shalaf tala, and maybe that's in Yerushalmi, and also the din of havara lalav yotzos ayin sham. But the Rambam says, only in actual Rambam, the Rambam only mentions Hotzah and Havara, and the Aruch HaShulchan and Oz Tes points out that these malachos are unique for specific reasons. Hotzah is a malacha grua, and Havara has a special lav, has different quality. So only these two malachos are subject to mitoch. And for the Rambam, what that means is that these two malachos, midaraisa, do not obtain on Yontif at all. Min haTorah. Yes.
That's not
mitoch. So it's a quasi type of mitoch. There's a hafkah.
The whole question we also asked on my mission is, it says a havara.
So here's the thing, though. You have to go back a different step, and I seem to recall Rav Shechter once addressed this, but I don't remember what he said. You could ask the question in reverse. What's the makar for mitoch?
It's a
svara. So it's a svara. Mehechi
Mapetone. Right, so that's what I was saying about that. Like for Nag Mishnah, when he says, oh, like, Kutsa is also Shayach by Ochon Mashkin, so he has to be assuming it's one of these, like, Malacha Geruah, in a Malacha, he is Svara, because he wouldn't even get off the ground.
Right. So what I think is, but there's, I don't remember who discussed this, I didn't see it when I was preparing it. I seem to call Rav Schechter once addressed this, but the Svara Mitoch is very difficult. Especially as we'll get to in a second sheet of Tosfos, but. You know, mechitesi. For the Rambam makes a lot of sense. Essentially, according to the Rambam, mitoch is a code word.
It's mashma from the Rashi that it's sort of based on this notion of hutra. From Rashi and Yabez and Beza, that's kind of the way he phrases it, is that once it's you see that it's mutter, so it's mutter legamri.
It's mutter legamri, and the Rambam would make sense to say that it only applies to these two malachos, because there's a reason that these two malachos are, for some reason, different, inferior, unique, and they're not shayach at all. So mitoch... It's perhaps it's more of a simon than it is a siba. Whereas for Tosfos it's much more difficult, because Tosfos in Shabbos and Tav Tzadihei Amar Aleph Tir Maskel Vaharode suggests that mitoch applies to all the malachos. Therefore, Tosfos Shabbos Tzadihei Amar Aleph Tir Maskel Vaharode, Tosfos says that all malachos can be subject to the din of mitoch, and therefore. For example, Malachas Bone is also going to be governed by Mitoch. Why? Because Megabain is a told of Bone, the Gemara says. And since Bone is Mutter, L'tzorach Ochel Nefesh and Megabain, therefore it's Shalot, L'tzorach Ochel Nefesh also Mutter. So therefore, Nafkamina would be if somebody's Sukkah falls down on Yontif. So you have a Malachas Bone issue, but potentially it may only be a binyan arai. It's a whole discussion about how the sukkah is constructed. Whatever it's going to be, according to Tosfos, building a sukkah, even malachas bone midaraisa, even real bone, is only drabanan. So what about a case where your sukkah fell down on yontif? Can you ask a goy to build a sukkah? So if it's only an issa drabanan in the first place of bone, so maybe it's only an ol arai, which might only is certain parameters. Of Ola Rai, only Drabbanan, and Amiola Akam is Drabbanan, so you have a lot of room to be Mako. Whereas according to the Rambam, an Isser Binyan on Yantif is the Malach Doraisa. So this is one important caveat in terms of the din of Mitoch, and that is whether or not Mitoch only applies to Havara, Hotza and Havara, or the Malach of Mitoch, the extension of Mitoch can apply to all Malachas, like Tosa says, for Bone and other places. Okay, the next issue is another very important issue in the context of Malachos of Yom Tov, which is somewhat related, but really not related, and it's important to keep in mind that they're different. The heter that we just mentioned, which is the heter of Mitoch says that you're not allowed to do Malacha A, but this new principle says that Malacha A is also included in the heter Ochel Nefesh. You're not allowed to do Bone, for example, but Tosfos says, as long as you have a Tzorach HaYom Kshas, oh, it's treated like Ochel Nefesh, right? But that means there's going to be, well, before I move on to the next topic, just there's going to be an important limitation for that. And that is, for example, if you have a Befei Rosh Isser to do something like Lachem V'lo La'akum, Lachem V'lo La'klovim, that on Yom Tov you're not allowed to do Malacha for a Goy or for a dog, even Ochel Nefesh is not permitted. So what does that mean if you do that? It means that Mitoch doesn't apply there. The Malachas themselves have a limitation. So Tosfos has this phrase in Beitza, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, has this phrase that it's Ahadral Isura Kama. It goes back to the original Isur. Now Tosfos himself thinks that it doesn't go back to the Isur Lav. It goes back to becoming a Lav Abba Mechlal Asay. But the Minchas Chinuch says in the name of the Chinuch, it's clear from the Chinuch, and he suggests this in the Rambam, that it actually becomes back to doing a Malacha. It becomes back to an Isur, which carries Malchus on Yontif. Meaning, exactly, if you're doing it for anti, we could call anti Ochel Nefesh purposes. You're doing Ochel Nefesh for a dog. You're doing Ochel Nefesh for a Kelev. You're doing Mitoch for an Isser purpose. It's a Hadrali Isser Kama. The reason I bring this up here in the context of Mitoch is because it's objectively defined. Meaning, the Lachem V'lo L'Klavim, once you have that Kavana, so we label that objectively as a Malacha. You're not anymore in the category of Malechus Hanah. You're now doing Malechus Avoda. Has nothing to do with your Kavana. It's that the Malacha is defined in that way. Then there's another category, another topic. And that's the context of Hoel. What is Hoel? So the Hoel comes up in the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Mem Vav and Beis. The Mishnah here is discussing taking challah from dough that's going to become chametz, and whether or not you have the possibility to be shoel on your declaration of challah and return it back to the state of truma. In that context of maybe you could take it back, maybe you couldn't, which is a long discussion, not for now, the Gemara brings up the concept of what's called hoel. What is hoel? Hoel umiklile orchim chazile. So the Gemara says, ofem yomtov l'chol, Rav Chizda Omar loke, Rabba Omar eno loke. Rabba says you don't get malchus if you bake from yomtov to the weekday. Everybody agrees you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov for Yom Tov. The question is, what if you bake on Yom Tov for the weekday? So that's not part of Ochol Nefesh. That's not Achashi Yochol Ochol Nefesh Ulevadi Yochol Lachem. So, for that reason, Rav Chizda says you get Malkus, because now you're not governed by Ochol Nefesh, because your Kavana is to eat it tomorrow. What Rabba's Machadish with Hoel, and then the Gemara suggests that it's totally in the Machlokas, Rav Elezer and Rav Yeshua, is, and this is the way I believe, I seem to recall, though I can't say with certainty, some of the shum that I heard from Rav Schechter, I remember better than others. I think this is where Rav Schechter said it, but if it's right, then it's what he said. If it's not, then it's what I said. The chiddush of Hoel is that we redefine your kavana. We say that when you said you meant it for Tuesday, no, yeah, you didn't really mean it for Tuesday. You meant it for today. Why would you mean it for today? What's the answer? Maybe you'll have guests. Got it? And therefore, in concept, Hoel and Mitoch are really totally separate things. Mitoch says that categorically, since in principle this malacha could be used for Ochel Nefesh, categorically it's considered a malachas Ochel Nefesh. It has nothing to do with your kavana. And sometimes your kavana is important, but your kavana in the case of lachem lo la'akav, lachem lo l'klavim, is a gzeras hakasa that says that is not acceptable. Bam, you violated a malacha. Hoel is something else. Hoel is when you did a malachas ochel nefesh just with a bad kavana, with a kavana for tomorrow. So what we'll do is we're going to touch up, we're going to airbrush your kavana and say, no, it's ki'ilu you had kavana for today. Because the objective malacha that you did was mutter. It's very different than Mitoch. Mitoch says you did something for non-Ochel Nefesh purpose. Oh, it's still mutter. Here, you did it for an Ochel Nefesh purpose, but you had a bad Ochel Nefesh kavana. And that's the machlokas of Hoel. What's that? It's kavana versus malacha, just with that little weird caveat of lachem v'lo la'akam, lachem v'lo la'klovim, which don't be confused and say, oh, it's a kavana, it's a hoel issue. It's not, because it's a limitation on ochel nefesh, that if you did those two, that's a hadra l'isur kamar.
Initially, that's not, when you do regarding it, that's initially not ochel nefesh.
Exactly, and therefore
so you... Hadra ochel nefesh is mutar.
Exactly.
So the closest whole question on Rashi, right? The closest whole question on Rashi falls to the wayside.
I mean, which question?
He says, how did Rashi just say it's mutar b'gamre, is the Gemara says you get malchus.
On which point?
Or, the closest mention is false, that's yesterday. The other viewer asked him, those shivas who say hetzer b'gamre, the Gemara seems to imply you get malchus for giving Rashi for a drive.
Right, but...
So you just say that the answer for that is that it's not a kasha, because initially they're saying that the strictures of the Hadra L'Isur Kama is that it's
exactly that's defined by, because of a Hadra L'Isur Kama, that's defined as not Ochel Nefesh at all, as opposed to Hoel, which is Ochel Nefesh. It's just Ochel Nefesh with a bad Kavana, so we just redefine your Kavana.
Hi. I'd like to take work as a retrospect. If you're fixing a mistake you made earlier,
okay,
so why are you performing the food? It's wrong. In a sense, you would say, you know what, since of the Kiddush Hoel, they're saying everything before was fine.
Okay, that's one way of looking at it. I'm not sure I would have said it that way, just because it's not retroactive. It's b'shas ma'isa. We're saying, oh, you think you're cooking for Tuesday? Not true. You're really cooking for today.
As if you don't have a kavana at all.
Exactly. We, the rabbis, did you a favor. We took over your brain. Nice. We took over your kavana. We said, when you bake on Yantif, if it's for Ochel Nefesh, we know it's for today. Well, therefore, by the way, there are just two important caveats. Tosas there, Pesachim, Memvav Medbeis, Dima Maskel, Rabbah points out, number one, it has to be Roy L'Achila. So let's say you have, you're cooking rotten fish. Tosas discussions about Dvash Hidvish. So he says, if it's rotten fish, or if it's honey that's disgusting, so then you don't have Hoel. Because Hoel presupposes that there's an Ochel Nefesh going on here, that it's Chazi, you're going to eat it. That's number one. Number two is that it's got to be with ample time that you can actually eat it. If you're cooking it at the last second where it's finished cooking just under the wire when Ochel Nefesh, so then just before Shkia... I don't remember what the Rambam says offhand, but Tosa says beferish that it has to have ample time. No, if the guests won't have time to eat it because you only cooked it a second before Yantif is over, so then you don't invoke Hoel. So then the question is, well,
it's
what's
amazing that there doesn't have to be any reasonable expectation for guests. Meaning,
we redefine your kavana,
and
even
yes,
though
always
even though you're the most unfriendly.
I'm a
hermit. You're a hermit.
Hermit, right.
You're a hobbit who's a hermit?
You're a hobbit that's a hermit who hates people. You hate all people. You're mamish Yasla the Holy Miser. You're mamish Yasla the Holy Miser.
You,
even Yasla the Holy Miser gets Hoel. Even though he says, mamish, I'll bury myself. Gevalt. Oh. So now, interesting, Ha'ara, is there any relationship between Mitoch and Hoel? So the Rashba is in Shabbos, Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Zimra Maskel, Ha Tinan.
Is it a seventh?
No, this is just within Hoel. I'm asking.
Shabbos,
Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Zimra Maskel, Ha Tinan. The Rashba says, if you don't hold of Mitoch, you certainly don't hold of Hoel. Shabbos, Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Zimra Maskel, Ha Tinan. If you don't hold of Mitoch, you for sure don't hold of Hoel. Why not? Probably because the Rashba thinks that Hoel is a much bigger Chiddush. To redefine your Kavana? That's a very big Chiddush. So if you don't hold to the small Chiddush on Mitoch, you certainly don't hold to the big Chiddush. But Tosas and Pesachim, and that Sugya...
Is it really a Chiddush?
I'm saying that...
Yeah, you use the model of it's Kavana versus Maisa. So it's a bigger chiddush, you could say that this Maisa...
Exactly, it's Mugdar. Exactly. So that's why Tosas says the exact opposite. Tosas and Pesachim and Dibar Maskel Ahavara. Tosas says, not true. He says, even according to the Man D'Amar who doesn't say Mitoch, you can still say Hoel. You don't have to worry about it.
What's
this, Svara? He doesn't say Svara, but it makes perfect sense. What does one have to do with the other? He says, Havar lo l'chayev, Mikan mochiach riva, de rabba, de omar hoel, hainu afilu beis shamai omar. Even if you hold like beis shamai, who doesn't say mitoch, mitoch, that's a huge chiddush to say that you're going to redefine melech as bone, as not being shayach on yantif min haTorah. That's enormous chiddush. But to say, well, my kavana was to cook for Tuesday, but Chazal said, well, really my kavana is to cook for today because guests might come. And a Hanami guests really might come. And I might really pull that out. I think Rav Shecht used to use the example. The Bar Gemara says, Chayav Odom Loshanas Bloshan Rabo. Right? So I think he used to say the example of birthday cake. You bake a birthday cake on Yantif afternoon for somebody's birthday in a few weeks. So that's a problem. That's not Hayom. That's not Sor Hayom. But you have 40 people who come over for Shalosh Shuris unexpectedly on the Shabbos that's Yantif in the afternoon. You have a big Shalosh Shuris party or a regular Yantif, whatever they came over for afternoon. 40 people came over for tea. So you're going to serve them the birthday cake from the freezer. You're going to get it out, stick it in the oven, defrost it, and serve it. So it's possible. So that's why Tosa says, irrespective of whether you hold Mitoch, even if you don't hold Mitoch, Rabbi will still say, you can say Hola. Okay. Akan, verstehst? Meritik, yeah? Kolchayech?
What is
that Tosus? That Tosus is Mem Zayin Amid Beis and Psachim, Dima Maskel, Ahavara. Alright, last 2 points. Machshirin. Oh, Machshirin. Machshirin, the discussion begins in the Mishnah, the Gemara, Megillah, Dav Zayin Amid Beis, and then it's a further discussion of Beitza Chavches Amid Beis, where Rabbi Yehuda says, Lachem includes Machshirin. And the Chavches say, no, that doesn't include Machshirin, it's Hulavado, Machshirin is excluded, so what does Rabbi Yehuda do with Machshirin? With Hulavado, he says, oh, it's only Machshirin, She'efshar Mibod Yom. So, there is a big discussion in the Rambam, and the Rishonim, how to paskin on this machlokas. Because the Gemara seems to indicate that Rav Chisda seems to paskin like him there on Chav Ches Med Beis, and there's a comment about Halacha Vein Morin Kain. The Gemara says, first the Gemara mentions Halacha Vein Morin Kain here on Chav Ches Med Beis. Beis, that's where the halacha of Emorin comes up. And then on Chav Chesamid Aleph, earlier in the Sugya, that's where the Gemara says, Rava said to Rav Chisda, I heard in your name that halacha is like Rav Yehuda, and he says, yeah, yei Rava the kol, kihani milim al yasa tidrushim mishmoy. So many Rishonim say, you see, Paschal like Rav Yehuda, but then the color goes back and forth. So if you look, the Magen Mishnah in Perek Dal and Halacha Ches seems to say that the Rambam does not Paschal like Rav Yehuda. However, many other Achronim think that the Rambam does pass on the review. That's a discussion. If you look here in the beginning of Tav Tzadi Hei, right off the bat, the Tur says, V'chein machshiri ochel nefesh kevin shetzorach l'tikun ochel mutal la'asosim yomtov u'kagon she'ef shel la'asosim yasmal. He paskins like Rav Yehuda. That's similar in the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Ramah does mention later on halacha v'morin kein. It comes up in Tavkuf Tes and in Tavkuf Yudalid. So this is another important area that's important to be sensitive to understand what is machshirin and what's not machshirin. So Shechter gave a, I think this is what he said was the Hagdara, and I'll say it in my own words, just kind of like rephrasing a little bit. Machshirin are things that remain after the Ochel Nefesh itself is gone. Or in other words, they're not tikkun of the Ochel, they're tikkun of something that's external to the Ochel, and therefore they outlast the Ma'is Achila. So for example, Ochel Nefesh would be cooking a hamburger. Machshiri Ochel Nefesh would be building a grill to cook the hamburger. Why is building the grill Machshirin? It's essential for cooking the food, but because once you finish cooking the food and you eat the food is gone, but the grill is still there. Bringing a knife to do a mila on Shabbos, that is, the action is not taking place in the Orla, it's taking place in the knife. You finish the mila, and the knife is still here. So you have the accomplishment of the malacha in the machshirin component, the element, the item, the utensil of the machshirin, has been accomplished, while the ochel nefesh side of it doesn't exist anymore. So if it's a machshirin, she'efshar mibod yom, you could have built the grill yesterday, you could have fixed the spoon yesterday, so then you can't do it, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's a distinction which exists in Midaraisa. Efshem Yibodyom versus the Efshem Yibodyom. Mashin came according to Rabban, and they're both Efshem Midaraisa. Yes? What were you going to ask?
What's the difference between, it seems to be very big similarity between Machshirin and Ochel Nefesh before Elisha?
Not the same. The question was, what's the difference between, what's the relation between, let's say, Borer and making a spoon? Very different. In the case of Borer, the malacha that you do affects the thing that you're going to eat, and the transformation is in the food itself, and nothing external is going to result afterwards. So that's not a question of Achshirin. That is Ochel Nefesh Gufa. As opposed to Machshirin, question was the difference between Boer, which is before Elisha, versus Machshirin. Machshirin is totally different. Machshirin is not in the food. Machshirin would be sharpening a knife, fixing a spoon. That's a discussion there in the Gemara. Yeah.
But is it? Does it have? Why don't we just be mindful of much closer and integral to the food production process, but not cooking during mice's meaning? Why? There are other ways I could have cooked this hamburger without having to do these eight malachos and creating the grill.
Yeah, so, but let's say a good example would be Mila. You couldn't cut off the arlo without a knife. You need a spoon, okay, so you have to fashion a rock, you're going to have to sharpen the rock. I don't know. There, I saw there was some, I forget who I saw, discussed how to formalize the parameters, the hagdara of Machshir, but I thought that was, I seem to call that sort of Schechter suggested it. So now, that brings us to the eighth of our components, which is the distinction between Efshar and E-Efshar, Mibod Yom. If you look, hi. Yes.
What did he say about
that?
Is that
So I think turning on the fire is not machshir, and I think that's ochel nefesh gufa. Because that according to Rav Shach's definition,
doesn't really exist. That
doesn't exist afterwards. Let's say building a coal, shaping a coal or something like that, making a coal, that would be machshirin. But the lighting of the flame, the creating that energy source, I assume that's not.
It's not when, physical that exists.
Right. It's you haven't built something that's going to be sustained afterwards.
If I ask some animal or film the action of cooking, part right. of it is turning the fire, and if it's closer, if that is cooking, shaping the knife, or even bringing something
for Mila, it's removed. Right. I forget exactly why. There was a reason. There was an afkamina that he pointed out about this, because it's more than just the proximity. I'm trying to remember what the distinction was. I don't remember offhand. But yeah, that's a good har. Okay, so the last point is just the difference between Efsher and E-Efsher Mibod Yom. So how are you magdir that? So it's interesting that when it comes to Mila, so the Gemara in Shabbos there in Reb Leizer to Mila discusses a machshiri Mila, whether it's Efshar Mibod Yom and E-Efshar Mibod Yom. So the Gemara discusses in the Rishalmi the following distinction. The Rishalmi says, in that context, it's Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Reb Leizer. Rabbi Akiva says that since it bringing the knife, what's that? Yerushalmi is right there in Perek Tezayin, Perek Yutes Halacha Aleph at the end. So Rebbe Lezer says you're allowed to bring machshirin, you're allowed to bring the knife if you didn't bring it before Shabbos, you're allowed to bring it on Shabbos. Rebbe Kiva says it's Efshar Mibod Yom. So the Gemara at the end here in Halacha Aleph in the Yerushalmi has this interesting line, Mali discussing things that are mutar on Shabbos, a certain machshir for shechita. Amar lo b'lezer imuri tzibur yochichu sheyoch lasus meir of Shabbos dochnas of Shabbos. What's the difference if it's machshir before, machshir and after? So Rabbi Kiva says no, machshir and after is dochsa shechita of Shabbos. So davar acher shema yimtza hazevach pasuv nimtza dochas Shabbos bo shechita. Gabi tinok ma yislach. So he says shema yechle tinok v'nimtza dochas Shabbos bo mila. Hatevon, Hari Mizbeach Shinofel Bishabis, Hari Eno Roy Livnos Bishabis. So the answer is Min Mizbeach Roy Livnos Me Esmal. Haga'at Macha Shachal Yudal Lios Bishabis, Hari Eno Roy Lahazes Bishabis, Min Hazar Ruya Lahazes Me Esmal. When it comes to, according to Rabbi Akiva, defining what's Efshar Mibod Yom and what's Efshar Mibod Yom, in a certain element, it's categorical. Rabbi Akiva says you're only allowed to do machshirin, that machshirin mila, that were efshar mibod yom. But they ask him, wait a minute, why is the following case? Let's say the Mizbeach fell down on Shabbos. Why can't you build it? It was Ief Shabbi Bod Yom. Right? Rabbi Akiva in Machshiri Mila says you're not allowed to build the Mizbeach on Shabbos. Why not? It fell down on Shabbos. So he says, Min Mizbeach. Meaning, in principle, the malacha of building, the concept of building the Mizbeach, it could have been done yesterday. It happened to be it didn't fall down yesterday. But the idea in principle is that it's Ef Shem Yibod Yom. So that's not Ef Shem Yibod Yom. Because it didn't exist. The child didn't exist. But the Mizbeach existed. Meaning,
no, it existed as a Mizbeach Shalem.
Okay. You can ask a lot of questions, as you show me. I mean, as Rashi used to say, ani rakorei mashkatuf. This is the Yerushalmi's comment. So you see from the Yerushalmi that the question of Ef Shem Yibod Yom is more theoretical than it is practical. But if you look in the Meiri there in Shabbos, he says that it has to do with whether you're posheya or not. So this is going to be important for us, that we're not going to follow this Yerushalmi. This question of Efshar and E-Efshar Yibod Yom is going to be a practical question, whether something broke before Shabbos or not. And that's why the Taz, where's the Taz that I'm looking for? Is it? I want to find this Taz. There's a comment in the Primogodim. Where is it? Hold on. So, where is it? No, I'm not finding it, and I did not write down where it is. It's at home where I wrote it down. There is this Mishpat Zov, the Prima Gaon, who spells this out in the context of Ef Shem Yibod Yom, where the thing broke on Yom Tov. I'm not finding it. But anyway, I left this note at home. I forget where I found it. Maybe it's in the footnotes of the Shem Yisrael Halacha. But anyway, the Rishonim and Achronim all point out, and it's highlighted by this Mishpat Zov. It's in a context where he's arguing with the Magen Avraham about a Hagadar of something, but that's where it comes up. Anyway, I'll find it in Yitz Hashem for tomorrow when I go home and find that note. But the idea that we have to distinguish between Efshar and Efshar depends on whether or not the thing broke from before Yom Tov, and whether you would have had time to fix it. So to summarize the eight topics we talked about, number one was the concept of malacha being carried over from Shabbos, and whether or not that applies to mechamer shvisas behema and tchumen, whether or not it applies to ein tzricha legufa, and how it's different from chiluk malachos. The second topic was the hagdara of malachas avoda and the heter of ochal nefesh with the Ramban. The third topic was the distinction between pre-lisha and post-lisha, whether or not that distinction is daraisa or derabanan. The fourth topic was whether or not it's efshar bimod yom or not is a deciding factor min haTorah or midrabanan. Then we talked about the din of mitoch, and whether or not mitoch requires a tzorach hayom ktsas or not, and whether it applies to other malachos, and then just that parameter of that special limitation, the parameter of yahad really surakama. Then we talked about hoel, redefining your kavana, and the question of whether or not that's related to mitoch or not. Then we spoke about machshirin, the agdara of machshirin, and we're going to see how it plays out alach lamaisa. And then the last issue about ef shem yibod yom or not, that's going to be also important in terms of deciding halach lamaisa in terms of the specific cases. So this is just the background overview, and now we can start actually the Beis Yosef, tour Beis Yosef, and get into the specifics.